ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
The one thing that will stop communication is a prideful attitude. But on the positive side, the one thing that will help all of us to heal from the hurt of another is being proud of God's Word. It will lead all men to knowledge and to the truth. A family can be proud that it stands together and is united all because they are proud of each member in the family. However, care and constant lookout will need to be done to ensure Satan will not try to tempt God's people to have that negative side of pride. And, you know, I've seen this within my own family that, you know, one of our children had some kind of anger issues towards us. For years, didn't even want to talk with us. It was really a sad situation. But we always tried to keep the door open. We always wanted to humble ourselves and say, you know, whenever you're ready, we're here. Come to find out that, you know, the big deal was that when he was a kid, we yelled at him. God, if that's the worst I did, woo-hoo, Father of the Year. But what happened was that the relationship was able to be healed. Because I could have been really angry. What? That's it for all these years? Whatever, you know? I don't care. That's the past. We're living here in the present now. Let those things go. I mean, why hold on to them? You know, life is short, man. And if you're having problems with relationships, you need to check your heart. Is it something I have done? Now, sometimes it's not. Sometimes the other person doesn't want to have anything to do with you. And there's nothing you could do about that. But pray for them. Keep that door open if any time they want to come. When my kids were living, you know, in rebellion and dealing in drugs and all kinds of things, they always knew that they could call us. They could always come and talk with us. That door was always open. It was never closed. We loved them. We didn't love what they were doing, but we loved them. We have to be careful. We don't let pride build a wall up between people. It's not a good thing. I think one of the problems today, and I hate to say this, but I've been saying this for a long time, probably for the 25 years that I've been up here, but we've let all this psychobabble come right into the church, and it's destroying relationships. You know, Robert Schuller got this started, and it's grown to where this is a normal practice in the church. And some don't see this as a big deal, but he says, late Robert Schuller said, sin is a psychological self-abuse. Well, really? So sin is a psychological abuse. So God, you are a horrible God. Look what you're doing to us by calling that a sin. We're good people. Oh, really? That's pretty prideful when you're telling God that he's wrong. He also said sin is any act or thought that robs myself of another human being of his or her self-esteem. It's just a loss of pride, sin. How do you get around scriptures that contradict what he's saying? Well, it's simple. In one of his radio interviews many years ago, Dr. Schuller was asked that specific question. And this is how he answered it. Listen carefully how, when scripture contradicts what you're saying, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean you should preach it. Oh, now we get to edit God's word. Is that a little prideful? Yeah, I think it is. But it's biblical. Think about this. This is biblical. Remember back in Genesis, what did Satan say to Eve? Has God indeed said? There's the challenge for God's word. You look at some of these teachers, pastors, leaders today, and that's exactly what they're doing. Has God indeed said that? This isn't a sin. This isn't a problem. Has God indeed said? We have to be careful. That's prideful. In fact, he believes that we should glorify every human being and don't assault their self-esteem. What we need, he declares, is a theology of salvation. Let me continue. A salvation that begins and ends with a recognition of every person's hunger for glory. I hate to say it, but, you know, only God deserves our glory. Not us. He's got that wrong. We are to be God-centered. not man-centered. And that's just prideful. Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 said, "Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of us esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Here's the thing. It's not about us. It's first about God, then it's about others, and then it's about me. Jesus, others, you. Oh, that's joy. Oh, maybe people are not so joyful because they got things out of order. Put Jesus first, put others, and then yourself. And I realize, yeah, but what about me? I guarantee you that if you have everything in order, God will take care of you. He'll meet you where you're at. I have seen that over the years. Believe me. Listen to what God has said. You know, if we start to think too highly of ourselves, we're going to be in trouble. We're like the tall trees in a lightning storm. We're going to be struck down. In Romans 12:3, Paul said, "For I say, though the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Oops, I shouldn't preach on that one, huh? No, it's the whole counsel of God, right? From Genesis through Revelation. Hey, we're not to think too highly of ourselves. Why? Because we're nothing. We're frail. I mean, think about it. These bodies, I've been in the medical field for a long time. These bodies are very frail. Your pH has to be within a small range. And if it starts going out, you could die. You think about it. You think about these human bodies, how fragile they are. I'm thankful that I have a God that holds my life together, that holds your life together. I can't think too highly of myself because I know myself. I mean, you do not want me, building your house or fixing your car. There is no way. Oh my gosh, that is just the crazy thing. We are to help each other, minister to each other, help each other grow, mature in the Lord. And again, we're not the Holy Spirit. We're not meant to be the Holy Spirit, but we're to love each other and even correct each other when needed. There was a story from years and years ago, a lady who went with a party to the British Museum, and she was expressing contempt and dissatisfaction at everything she saw. I know if you've ever been around people that just complain about everything. Oh, it's too sunny outside. It's too cloudy outside. It's not, this. It's not that. That was this lady. She basically protested it was a waste of time to continue and urged the company to hasten their departure. And finally, they thanked the gentleman in attendance who was taking them on the tour, and they're about to leave. And he detained them by the following address to their haughty companion. Listen to what he said. This is pretty bold. He said, "When I first saw you, madam, I was struck with your beauty and interesting appearance, but you soon gave me occasion to change my opinion. I pity the man that marries you." I'm sorry. "I pity the man that marries you. If anyone ever will, certainly I would not. And I fear for you unless some alteration takes place in your taste, manners, and habits. Madam, I wish you a good day." Wow. Well, many years later, the gentleman waited upon another company at the museum, and when they took their leave and thanked him for his polite attentions, there was a woman who stepped forward and expressed her gratitude in a manner that was more than appropriate for the situation. And the gentleman was rather surprised and thanked her for being so kind. And she said, "Sir, my obligations to you far exceed those which you have conferred this morning." She then recalled to his memory the previously mentioned circumstance and added, "I am that woman. And to you, I am indebted next to this gentleman who is my husband for the happiest influence on my life and character arising from that very pointed but helpful reproof which you then administered." She heard that and changed her life, and it transformed her life. God's word, doesn't it change us? It absolutely does. if we listen and obey to what he's telling us. That's, you know, our God is not up there ready to smash us. Our God is ready. He's trying to transform us. Are we willing to listen? If we don't change, though, if we're not open to what the Lord is showing us, if pride continues to grow in our lives, then there are the consequences. And look at verse 18. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you have not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle." Well, obviously, Samson's wife told this riddle to these men. And these men gave Samson the answer. You know, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And Samson knew, there's only one other person I told. That was my wife. No one else knew the answer. No one could get that answer. It had to be my wife. That's a great way to start out a marriage, huh? And he tells these guys, if you have not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. Please do not call your wife a cow. That is a bad way to start out a marriage. I don't know, man. Not terms of endearment, right? Not a Hallmark moment there. And I guess really his love for this woman was really superficial. And why was Samson so mad? Why? Pride. It's just pride. I should have won this thing. They cheated. There are consequences to our actions. Pride affects our relationship with God. It affects our relationship with others, and it's going to affect us as well. There are consequences to our actions, as I've said. Some of you may remember the story of King Uzziah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, he was the king in the southern kingdom of Judah. He was a good king. He brought the nation back together as many cities were lost to the enemies over the years, really under his father Amaziah's reign. He made all kinds of implements for war. He was doing well. And the reason he was doing so well is found in 2 Chronicles 26:5. The last part of the verse, it says, "As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper." Wow. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. That is so true. You see, that principle is not only in the Old Testament, it's also woven through the pages of the New Testament. And when we think too highly of ourselves, as we've seen, God's moved out of the picture. He's not on the throne of our lives, and we're really headed for trouble. And that was true of King Uzziah, a good king. Let me share what was going on and how he prospered until. And that's important. It's kind of a sad word here. In 2 Chronicles 26, verses 6 through 16, this is what we're told. "Now he went out and made war against the Philistines," this is Uzziah, "and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabna, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gur Baal, and against the Munites. Also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies according to the number of their roll as prepared by Jael the scribe and Messiah the officer under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600, and under their authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up, to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Look at the success that this guy accomplished. I mean, this is incredible. In verses 6 through 8, it spoke about his victory in war over the enemies. In verses 9 through 10, it spoke of his massive building projects and his push in the area of agriculture. Land was fruitful. Verses 11 through 15, the strength of his army and developing weapons of war to put down the enemy. King Uzziah was doing a great job. And you read about all his success and you see all these good things happening, and there was nothing that looked like it could stop him. But, and that's never a good word, unless God does it. But God, and when we put but in there, it's usually against God. But I don't want to do that, Lord. When his heart was strong, or when he was strong, excuse me, his heart was lifted up. You know what that is? Pride. Yep, look at me. I'm doing great. Remember the 1985 Chicago Bears? I mean, they were unstoppable. No. You don't? Well, I'll tell you about them. No, you won't. But they were an awesome defensive team. They were one of the best defenses in football history. Here's the problem. They were a one-year success. Why? Because of pride. Their coach, Mike Ditka, their defensive coach, couldn't get along. And it divided the team. And the team fell apart. They should have been a success for several more years. They weren't. Because they let pride bring them down. What brings us down is pride. We think that we're better. Hey, look at what I am doing. And there's the problem. Look at what I am doing. No, look at what God is doing. Humble yourself. Realize, apart from God, you can do nothing. When he was weak, then Uzziah was strong. But when he was strong, then he was weak. We think it differently, don't we? But when we're weak, we have to depend on someone. We have to depend upon God, not ourselves. I know in my own life, when I know the Lord had called me up to Wisconsin one day, and then I got diabetes before he even brought me to Wisconsin. I was upset. I mean, Lord, how in the world am I going to be able to handle this? I mean, I was a nurse. I knew all about diabetes. And I actually would say, man, I hope I never get diabetes. God says, hang in there. And the Lord's, I just remember when I was admitted to the hospital, because they wouldn't let me treat myself at home. I'm kind of independent that way. So they admitted to me to the hospital. I remember I was all alone. It was in the evening. It was dark outside on a summer night. And I was up in the rehab center. There was a big rehab room in the back of the floor I was on. And I was just sitting in there. It had these huge, beautiful windows looking outside. It was dark. I couldn't see anything. But there was a huge thunderstorm going through. Lightning's flashing, the thunder is loud. And I was just sitting in there and I was just crying out to God. I was all by myself, no one else around. Like, Lord, I don't even know what to do anymore. Lord, how am I going to do these things that you want me to do with this disease? It's going to incapacitate me now. What the Lord said, and it's really simple and it's right out of the scriptures, is what he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And that was it. It wasn't a big, long talk. It's basically, Lord, I can't do this. The Lord said, my grace will get you through. You just got to trust in me. And that's what he's doing with us, isn't it? All the time. We're always learning how to trust in him. When we're weak, we're strong. But when we're strong, we could become weak. It doesn't mean we have to. But when we realize our strength is only coming from the Lord, then we can keep ourselves humble. But when we think it's about us, it's when we're standing up and the lightning strikes, right? For Uzziah, the strength went to his head. He thought too highly of himself. And he wanted to go and offer incense as the priest would do in the temple. And in fact, the priest told him, hey, guy, Uzziah, don't come in here. And, he's the king. Don't come in. You're not a priest. Don't do this. And he thought, hey, I'm the king. Look at all that I have. I can go in and do it. And he was struck with leprosy. because he disobeyed God. Standing tall, God brought him down. One writer said Uzziah's problem was that he was not content with the authority God had given him and wanted to add more priestly functions to his royal power. Absolute power, however, has no place in God's kingdom. Yeah. He didn't listen to the warnings of God. He tried to, because of his pride, do things he shouldn't have done. And that's a lesson for us. In fact, we're told of King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26:21 that he was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Wow. He went from power to pride to downfall. His strength was his weakness. You know, Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Yeah. How important. When we are weak, we're strong. We're dependent upon God. And I think, God has what's best for us. Look at the pride of Samson. What did it do? It hindered his relationship with God. Samson did what he wanted. He isolated God from his life. The effects of others with pride, it destroys relationships. And then the consequences of how our pride, God will deal with it to keep us humble and to look to him to be the strength of our life. And I'll close with this. There was a government official who came to President Lincoln's office and was startled to find the chief executive shining his shoes. "Sir," he gasped, "surely you don't polish your own shoes?" "Well, of course," replied the humble president. "Whose do you polish?" That's humility, right? That's just humility. There's a Filipino saying, the higher the bamboo grows, the lower it bends. And yeah, Jesus even didn't come to be served, but to serve others and give his life for ransom for others. Wow. Okay, there's Almighty God who's doing that. Am I willing to serve people as Jesus did? As tall as I may be, am I willing to bend and humble myself before God? Because I can be very tall and not bend and be brought down. But no matter how much God does in my life, I want to be able to bend before him in humility and say, "Lord, this is all you. Help me to continue to walk by faith and to trust in you." As James said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. There it is. I don't have to exalt myself. I don't watch sports anymore, which is really hard for me because I love sports. But with all the garbage that's going on, I don't watch it. But it always bothered me when I see these players exalt themselves. And I love when they say, it's all about Jesus. He's the one who's enabled me to do what I'm doing. Oh, praise God. You understand that. Pride is a tough thing because it sneaks upon us. And we just got to be open. Lord, remove that pride from my life. It's something you hate, something I hate too. I don't want it in my life. I want to humble myself before you. I want to be used fully by you. And Lord, I know you love me. Isn't it amazing what God can do through people like me, like you? It's pretty incredible. Just keep yourself humble. Be open and walk by faith. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. As you keep your eyes upon the Lord and you obey him and you humble yourself before him, you're going to be able to minister to others and your relationships are going to work out. Not perfectly, because we're dealing with people. Paul said, to basically, and I'm paraphrasing, get along with people as much as you can, as much as they allow it. You can be open to heal a relationship they may not be. You do the best you can. That's all you can do. And you know what? God will take care of the rest. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. A difficult message dealing with pride, because we have to examine our own hearts and see if that issue is there anywhere. And I'm sure it creeps into all of our lives from time to time, and we have to deal with it. Lord, I just pray, help us to be more like you. Help us to be humble men and women of God that are always open to minister to people, to love them, to reach out to them, and to always be open to the things you're showing us. That, Lord, if you tell us something to do or not to do, that we're going to be obedient. We're going to follow you all the days of our lives. We love you so much, Lord. And I pray for all those here this morning that you continue to bless them and use them in a mighty and powerful way. Mm-hmm. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.